We've looked at three Ananiases and six Judases and four James, now six Marys. Very popular name is Mary. And one has said that no female has been honoured as has Mary by millions of people in all the world who have named their daughters Mary. It is a Hebrew name and it has ever been popular in all the countries of the Western world. There are various variations of the name. Maria, Marie, Miriam, Marian. They're all in under the umbrella of the name Mary. It doesn't have a very nice meaning, Mary. It means bitter. And it's from the book of Ruth. When Naomi returned after 10 years, after being away in Moab, she had left 10 years before with her husband and two sons. Comes back 10 years later with one daughter-in-law, Ruth. Her husband, two sons dead, buried in the land of Moab. Is this Naomi? She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And that's where Mary comes from, Mara. Thankfully, these six Marys did not live up to that name. They were not bitter. They would have been pleasant. So these are just thumbnail sketches of these characters. And let's look at our first Mary here. She's well known, isn't she? The Mary who loved Jesus as a son. Virgins don't have babies. And this is where the birth of Christ is unique in the world. Nowadays, the medical experts can cause a virgin to have a child through IVF and so on. There doesn't need to be a man involved in that way. And the world boasts, well, we can cause a virgin to have a baby. But here's the difference between that and the birth of Christ. That is the woman who's a sinner being given the seed of a sinner to give birth to a sinner. Whereas where the virgin birth of Jesus was concerned, it was the mother who was a sinner, but the seed came from God, came from heaven, gave birth to a sinless child, gave birth to the Son of God. That's the difference between the world boasting, we can cause a virgin to have a child. That's the difference. It's not the same as the birth of Christ. It is reckoned that Mary was only maybe a teenager, 18 years of age maybe, and yet a fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy given through Isaiah, given to the man who was going to be her husband, Joseph, who was worried and concerned when he heard the news that his betrothed was expecting a baby. Matthew 1:22-23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold," Isaiah 7:14, around 700 years before this, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." And her and Joseph went on to have more children, as we have noticed in different scriptures. And they went on to have at least six more children. Mark 6 and verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, and Joseph and Judas and Simon? There's four boys. And are not his sisters, at least two sisters, plural, here with us? Joseph is not mentioned in the early ministry of Jesus. He's not mentioned that being at the cross, it was reckoned that he was dead at that point. The Bible does not record his death, but because he's not mentioned. But 33 years later, we see Mary at the cross. John 19 and verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. There were three Marys at the cross. Three names that mean bitter. But the Lord Jesus had made them sweet. He changed their lives. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. You know, people picture Mary as this wee old woman at the cross. And she wouldn't have been. If she was only about 17 or 18 when she had the Savior, and Jesus died at around 32, 33 years of age, Mary is only somewhere between 47 and 51 years of age. And yet right from the birth of Jesus, and even at the visit of the shepherds, and even the things that they said and the things that they witnessed, we read that Mary pondered over these things and treasured these things in her heart. She was a thoughtful woman. And after the ascension, a scripture that we have remarked on before, after the ascension, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 12 to 14, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Take note of that. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, it's her last mention in the Bible. And she's a prayerful woman. We don't know how much longer she lived after this. We don't know if she lived to be that wee old woman. But we meet her in her teens in Luke chapter 1. And here she is in around 50, 51 years of age at the place of prayer. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Roman Catholicism makes a big deal about Mary. Scripture says, and we've read it, where the angel said, "Blessed are you among women." Rome says, "Blessed are you above women." And she's not above women, she's among women. And here's what they say about Mary, and I quote from actual Roman Catholic sources here. And she is truly a mediatrix of peace between sinners and God. Sinners receive pardon by Mary alone. Well, that is just blasphemous. That is totally unscriptural. Because the Bible says very clearly in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Where is there room for Mary or anybody else in that text? There is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. It's not the woman Mary. Rome says again, Mary is called the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. Blasphemous. Where in the Bible is Mary called the gate of heaven? Again, Scripture says in the words of Jesus very clearly, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. There are wee snippets of Mary where we meet her during the earthly ministry of Jesus. And we read very clearly that it was Mary who was obedient to Christ. It wasn't Christ who was obedient to Mary. Mary was obedient to Christ. In the wedding of Cana, Jesus' first miracle in John chapter 2 and verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do. And surely if there was an opportunity where the mother and the child were to be worshipped, it was in the visit of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. It doesn't say and worshipped them. Rome would like you to do that. And you've seen pictures of the mother and child and so on. But they worshipped him. They didn't worship Mary and him. They worshipped him. And when they had opened their gifts, they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if there was an opportunity to give us a scripture where Mary and Jesus were to be worshipped together, it was here. But Mary is not included at all. Mary was never worshipped. To worship him. There's no Mary that can intercede for us or help us on the way to heaven. There's no saint can help us on the way to heaven. It is in Christ alone my hope is found. In Christ alone. The Mary who loved Jesus as a son. Then our second Mary is the Mary who was liberated from the spirits. And here we're thinking of another well-known Mary now, Mary Magdalene. Why is she called Magdalene? Matthew 15 and verse 9 just seems to casually say where Jesus leaves one region for another. The very last verse of Matthew 15, verse 39, and he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. That's where Mary was from. She was Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene. Jesus went to Magdala because he was going to meet with this woman and he was going to change her life. How did he meet her? What spiritual state was she in? What spiritual bondage was she in? Mark 16 and verse 9 says, again, this is resurrection morning. Now, when he rose early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons, seven evil spirits. Now, we do not read of anything about that. We do not read what these seven spirits were. Here was a case of demon possession. Here was a woman who was gripped by evil. Magdala is only about 3 miles from Capernaum, and that's where most of Christ's works were done, there in northern Galilee, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Chorazin, up around that area. But she was a woman who was chained. Out of whom? Out of whom the Lord had delivered her from seven evil spirits. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, we read this. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. The 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So we have to get this picture that when Jesus was traveling about along with the 12, there wasn't just the 13 men. There were women as well who would have made them food and so on, whose lives had been changed by the Lord, and they wanted to follow him too. I have another sermon on these three women here, and I've called it Mary Magdalene. She was the unshackled woman out of whom had come seven demons. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, she was the uncompromising woman. Her husband was the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And Susanna, the unknown woman. There's only time she's mentioned. I know nothing about her. Simply that she followed Jesus. Sure, that's all you need to know about anybody. And this is the background of Mary Magdalene, of what we know about her. She had been delivered from seven evil spirits. Again, Rome says that she is the unnamed woman of Luke chapter 7. You know, the woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, the woman with an awful moral reputation. It doesn't name the woman, but Rome says, oh, it's Mary Magdalene. And they've even opened up houses and helpful places for people like this, and have called them Mary Magdalene House. But she's a woman who was chained. She was possessed with 7 evil spirits. Now, we don't know the nature of these 7 evil spirits. I'm not sure if you've ever thought of demonology. Have you ever read anything on this subject? When I was in the Faith Mission Bible College in 1977 to 79, those 2 years, my principal was the Reverend Arthur Neal. He was only there those 2 years. He was used of God to deliver, if I can use that word, Doreen Irvine, whose testimony is given in her book, From Witchcraft to Christ. Doreen Irvine spent 2 weeks with us in the Bible College when I was there. I met her personally. She was possessed with 48 evil spirits. She first encountered Christ with Arthur Neal in 1964. But it took some years for her to be completely delivered. On one Friday morning, Arthur Neal, whenever Doreen went away, he spent one Friday morning for 2 hours. He told us the 48 names of each of those evil spirits. Each of them had a name. And each one was in control of a part of her personality and her mind. It's frightening stuff. And maybe we don't give it enough credit, really, and thought that we should. But there are people who are possessed with evil spirits, indwelt by evil spirits. If a Christian can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, a person can be indwelt with a hellish spirit in control of their life and mind. Drunkenness, drug abuse, all kinds of sexual deviation. That's the type of things that Doreen had. So this is real. Jesus is real. Satan is real. The Holy Spirit is real. And his influence in a person's life, hellish spirits are real, and they influence people's lives. So Mary Magdalene was chained. But Mary Magdalene was changed. Luke 8:2, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Out of whom had come 7 demons. And what does Mark say? From whom he had cast 7 demons. She was helpless. She couldn't deliver herself from evil. She was helpless. Only the Lord could set her free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. She was a chained woman. She was a changed woman, but you know, she was a committed woman. Mary Magdalene was at the cross on Friday. She was at the tomb on Sunday. Matthew 26 and 56 says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." But chapter 27 and 55 and 56 says, "And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him," and those are the women mentioned in Luke 8, 1 to 3, "were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, among whom were Mary Magdalene." All the disciples forsook him and fled, but not Mary Magdalene. She stays and she observes from afar. As one has said, so when apostles fled, could dangers brave last at the cross and earliest at the grave? One has said they were there. These women were there. Friendly faces in a callous crowd that had come out to see a spectacle during the festival in the crowded city. They could not help him now with their resources. Nonetheless, they stayed and would not leave. As if they could not bear to watch his sufferings, but neither could they bear to leave him at the cross. And she observed his burial, just to know where to come to on Sunday morning. Verse 61 of Matthew 27. "And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb." After the body of Jesus had been taken down from the cross by the tender hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and others, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there. She wanted to see where he had been laid, so she could come on the Sunday morning. Chapter 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." Resurrection morning. I love John's account in chapter 20. Chapter 20 of John, verse 2. Or I'll just read from verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' And of course they came, Peter and John came and looked in and went away, wondering what was going on. But Mary still stays at the tomb. Verse 11, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" Do you see the difference here? She said in verse 2, they have taken away the Lord. And in verse 13, she says, they have taken away my Lord. Anybody can talk about the Lord. You could be in conversation with anybody, and they've no interest in the things of God, and they'll talk about the Lord. But Mary says here, they have taken away my Lord. My Lord. Mary was last at the cross. She was first at the tomb. I want to say, what pathos is in the word my Lord? My very own Lord, the one who did so much for me and whom I love to serve. This is just a thumbnail sketch of Mary Magdalene. My Lord. Again, she's not mentioned after this, after John chapter 20. They have taken away my Lord. On this Easter day of 2021, how many today are meeting in churches? How many can say, he's not just the Lord, he's my Lord, he's mine? The Mary who loved Jesus as a son, the Mary who was liberated from the spirits. And just, we noticed our third Mary. Again, there's just very briefly, the Mary who was liberal in her support. Chapter 27 of Matthew 55, 56, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. There's another Mary. This is our third Mary. She's not as well known as the Mary who gave birth to Jesus. She's not as well known as Mary Magdalene. But she's as committed to following Christ as what they are. She's one of the obscure characters of the Bible. But again, she's one of the ones who's last at the cross and first at the tomb. She's staying put while the disciples are running off. She's staying. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. I wonder, was she one of the healed women of Luke chapter 8? It mentions only three women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna. But I wonder, is she numbered among the certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities? Is she one of them? And she is following Christ, and she's not leaving him, even at the worst point of his life, when he's being crucified. She's one of the ministering women from Galilee, but she is so thankful for what the Lord has done for her. That, like Mary Magdalene, she's at the cross and she's at the tomb. She witnesses the offensive cross. She witnesses the occupied tomb. She witnesses the open tomb. She's there early in the morning to see that Christ has risen. The rest of her life is unknown. We know nothing about her. But my, what a well done she has heard. Books haven't been written about her. Nobody's talking about this Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Who's she? Oh, we know of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Look what Rome makes of her. We know of Mary Magdalene. Look what Rome makes of her. But this Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, who's she? She's as much a follower and a lover of Christ as what the other two are. She was liberal in her support of her Savior. And one has said she thus sacrificed both her sustenance and her son for the service of the Master. Motivated by the inner urge of gratitude to him for all he had done for her, she became generous, faithful, loving, and true. Hers was a simple faith and a trusting love. Thousands of Christian women down the ages have been likened to her because she loved her Lord and served him well. And I trust that the same can be said of you and me today. This is the first then of our Marys. The Mary who loved Jesus as a son. The Mary who was liberated from the spirits. What sin she was delivered from. Because Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And the Mary who was liberal in her support. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And God willing, in 3 weeks' time, we'll come to our next three Marys. We sang Psalm 22, which again, we were at the cross. The very first verse of one of the cries of the Savior, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're going to close with Psalm 16, verses 7 to 11, to the tune Wiltshire. Verse 10 says, because my soul in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee, nor wilt thou give thine Holy One corruption to see. Peter quoted that verse in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost and in the context of the resurrection of Christ. So on this Easter day, let us sing these verses. Psalm 16, verses 7 to 11.